When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Hello, Blenders. It's Sean O'Connell, the managing editor at Cinema Blend and a co-host of the Real Blend podcast with a very special episode of the show. A co-director of one of my favorite films of this year, Superman, the Christopher Reeve story. We don't get to do a lot of documentaries on the show. It's just bandwidth. I wish we could get to them. But when one comes around that is as special as Superman, we want to put it on people's radars. So we're very happy to get both Ian Bonholt and Peter Ettinger on the show to talk about this film and specifically about the life of Christopher Reeve. As you will see, as we start to do the interview with them, it's really hard not to be moved by Christopher Reeve's story. You might think that you kind of know it. You've heard about the fact that he had a horse riding accident, that he was thrown from his horse, that he was paralyzed from the neck down as a result of it. But until you see on a granular level the impact that Reeve's accident had on his family, his wife, his career to a certain extent, the professional side gets covered, but the personal side is so moving. It puts it into perspective. It puts the work that he was doing and then the work that he continued to do after the accident into such an amazing perspective. It's truly a remarkable film and a really, really special story that will have a message I think touches the hearts of just about anybody, whether you're a fan of Superman or not. So without further ado, I want to dig right into our interview on behalf of Superman, the Christopher Reeve story, and then keep it on the other side. I have a few more teases coming up for upcoming episodes of Real Blend. I would like to be the latest to congratulate you guys on a phenomenal, phenomenal film. It's truly incredible. I can't wait for more people to get a chance to see it. I'm genuinely curious whose review, personal or even a professional review, meant the most to you guys that you got to hear since the film has been out?
Oh, wow.
That's a very good question. Peter reads the review way more than me.
No, I do not. I never read a review. No, I have to say, I think that Michael Manganiello, who it was Christopher and Dana's kind of one of their closest friends and became the leader of the foundation, and was very reticent about participating in the film because he felt that there was a real danger with this subject of putting Chris on a pedestal that, and also making a sort of celebrity puff piece. Sure. And so we knew that before we went in, and we persuaded him to come and work with us and give it the most beautiful interview, I have to say. But when he wrote to us at the end of the story, knowing how his reticence initially, when he wrote to us having seen the film and just said how much of, I mean, I don't want to say it because it sounds like I'm being very arrogant, but he just said it was the most beautiful experience to watch it, and that we had really done a job that he'd made exactly the sort of film that he'd hoped for and avoided the film that he dreaded. And that meant a great deal to both of us, no?
Yeah, but that was in a review.
Well, it was a kind of review. It was an email that was like quite long. I would
That's
say that
okay.
was a review.
But as a reaction, I would say the reaction was when the kids saw the film for the first time, you know, because, you know, they trusted us with it. And when we were waiting for them to connect, they were in New York. They watched it in New York with the financier. And when they come on and they actually pulled our legs a little bit with it, where they trying to make her sweat more than he was, because actually they loved it. And that was really like massive weight off your shoulder, because you as filmmakers, you have to run with one vision, but you always have in the back of your head the fact that you have people entrusting you, not only with their father's or their mother's story, but their own story, because they lived it. They were there all the time through it. So that, for me, then just seeing that they were so happy and seeing how much, you know, you have talked to them maybe today. They are completely embracing the film. They want this film to be seen. They love it. And that makes us feel so warranted to have taken on the project.
And they're much better interviewees than we are. So actually,
they don't
it's
have
really,
the French
really,
accent, though.
No, you have the sexy French accent.
That works. In the US, it works. Not everywhere. But in the US, no, I'm joking.
On this podcast, it works. I'll tell you that.
I would love to say that there was one review, I mean, actual written notice that stood out. But we were just, I have to say, it was a bit of a deluge, because people seemed to love the film. And it was there was a point where I was going to say, well, come on, there must be something that people don't like about it. But
so we can defend it.
Yeah.
100%.
I would say it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes
currently. Yeah. Yes.
Still.
So yeah. Someone's going to come along and write a negative one, don't they?
Exactly.
And we will break their kneecaps.
Someone will say, oh, it was a film about Superman. So much Superman in it.
Guys,
let's go to the next question.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're good. There are so many poignant plot lines that you guys follow, and Sean and I were just talking about how powerful the relationship between Robin and Mr. Reeve really seemed to be. There is one moment I'd love to get your reaction, just how you were feeling being on the other side of the camera, and it's when, and I believe it's Glenn Close, when Glenn Close says, I'm paraphrasing, but along the lines of, maybe if Christopher Reeve were still alive, that Robin might still be alive. And I think there was a handful of people in the theater here in Chicago when I saw it. And I think you could audibly hear everyone in the theater gasp out loud when she said that line. And I'd love to, do you remember that day when she said that line? I'd love to know what your reaction was. Cause that was a moment.
I think Glenn got emotional quite a few times during that interview. And as a filmmaker, you want to be careful not to cheapen the use of someone's tears for your own purpose. But when she said this about the film is so much about those connections between individuals. Peter alluded to Chris, someone that built bridges. And that bridge that was between them, the fact that Chris was Zach's godfather, the fact that you trust someone to be there for your children if you pass away, meant there was a huge amount of trust. And I think this trust and the fact of communicating with each other in the dark moments, you know, we've heard that if Chris had a bad day, they could call Robin and Robin will try to cheer him up. And I wouldn't be surprised if we would find out that when Robin had bad days, he would call Chris and Chris would cheer him up. And I think that, you know, despite people that can be around you, you know, one or two people that you really trust, and if they're not there for you, and then if you really at this really low point moment, you know, and I believe that Glenn knew them both enough to warrant her and the statue of who she is to say that. But we agonized quite a bit about using it in the film, but we felt it's her words and she meant it in such a meaningful way. She wasn't trying to be shocking or extravagant or try to give us something. It wasn't drawn out of her by a question. It came almost naturally in the conversation, and we just thought, you know, Robin had become such an important character in our film that, you know, his passing, because all of us audiences know that, sadly, a few years after Chris's passes, he dies, he had the gravitas that was worth mentioning.
Yeah, and I think also, it's not that because it's a hypothesis, and I think that's why we agonized over it, because, you know, it could be taken in the wrong way by people. But I think really it's what underlies what she says that is so important, which is how important they were to each other, and how the loss of one of them to the other was sort of like, you know, they called each other brother. And the loss for Robin of being the brother who is left behind was huge. It wasn't just some celebrity friend. It was sort of like his soulmate in a way, who he'd sort of like been on a trajectory through life with ever since they were 21 years old. So,
and I think Chris encompassed the struggle to get up in the morning, and that might have inspired Robin to carry on as well, seeing his friend going through so much and still, you know, fighting. You know, he says it, we use it in the film, you know, it inspires you to see people fighting so much. It gives you special energy, special power, and that's was one of the superpower from Chris. He just led by example. You know, it's shit for me, how shit is it for you? Let's get on with it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Guys, at the moment I want to ask about is Chris appearing at the Oscars. It's such a seminal part of the film. The film almost builds to it. Do you remember seeing that moment for the first time? And when did you decide where you were going to use it in your film when you were putting the structure together?
I mean, it was straight away. As soon as we saw it, it was going to be in the film.
For sure. And it is an extraordinary moment. But I think what you start realizing, and in terms of where it was going to be placed, it was always going to be there, because this is his first public appearance, truly public appearance. I mean, there had been one other. This is the first truly public appearance where he's on camera and he's having to travel from New York, you know, less than a year after the accident, travel from New York to Los Angeles. No one knows about it. It's like a secret operation. And Chris feels he's got to do it. Not because he's about to become a movie star again, because or become part of the Hollywood community, because that wasn't going to happen, but because he felt, as he says, that he could sort of use the Oscars as a platform to show, to kind of give hope to other people with disability by just displaying yourself in a wheelchair, you know, breathing with the aid of a ventilator, that actually you could be proud. And you could still sort of show yourself to the world. And I think that was so, you know, that's the thing that really strikes home. The other thing, by the way, I was thinking about it as Ian, you were talking about Robin just now. You know, there's a moment where we cut to Robin in the audience. You can see Robin is, you know, he looks like he's
so worried.
Makes me want to cry. He's worried. He's emotional. You know, you kind of like see him just like willing his friend on. It's a very, very powerful moment.
There's quite a few moments like this, like the DNC. They were moments we knew we had to use, and then it's about structuring, and you know, it's a puzzle making a film like ours, and it's very exciting because it is as emotional as it is technical, you know, and it's about crafting the stories. It's very much like, you know, screenwriters. You know, it's you moving the cards and you see, oh, that scene actually doesn't fit there anymore. And then if you move it there, oh my God, it works really well with that scene. But that scene before just doesn't work anymore. So there's a lot of that. And you know, it's very exciting to make it. But there was such a great purpose in making the film. There was such a great message we could give with the film. There was such a, the film we feel is coming out at such the right moment. It's almost serendipity.
Serendipity.
I can never pronounce that word.
He's my student.
Yeah.
I don't speak French nearly as well as he speaks English, I should add.
But it is magical how many great things fall into place to get us to where we are and chatting to you guys.
Well, we appreciate you doing it because if this was the finished product, man. There's a lot of conversation oftentimes with documentary filmmakers about, I don't know if this is the right term, but just like keeping your distance. People always talk about, if you're filming a lion eating an antelope, you don't go help the antelope. You just sort of sit back and you say, hey, this is what's happening. When you're filming a subject, particularly the kids, Alexandra and Matthew and Will, and they have those moments where they break because they're talking about some very difficult moments in their life. And it's not an easy conversation. What is your responsibility in that moment? Do you still have to stay on the other side of the camera? Do you have to let them work through those moments on their own? Do you allow yourself a human moment where you pause if necessary or go over to them and comfort them? Or do you even allow yourself to cross that line?
I mean, I think it depends on the person. I think in this particular case, we had we really wanted to create a safe space for the interview for the kids. But a lot of that was also about our conversations with them before the interviews and allowing them the space. And they really wanted to use that space to give vent to their innermost feelings and to really open their hearts and souls. So in that instance, I think, it's most respectful to let them, if they break down, as each of them does at some point, you have to let them deal with that moment. You have to respect that moment. You have to respect their desire to put themselves out there in that way. And then, as you get to the end of the card that you might be filming on, or even at the end of the question, we will just get up and we will give them a big hug. And I have to say that we would be my concern in those moments was also us, because we were sobbing. I would also say, there's a side of documentary that is very much, it's very journalistic, very objective. We come much more from a subjective filmmaking scripted background, both of us, in different ways. And that means that we are still in some ways learning the ropes about documentary filmmaking, but actually really trying to bring what we've learned from making feature films, scripted feature films, into the world of documentary. That doesn't mean distorting or bending the truth, but it means often putting emotion before information, feeling before reportage.
I think we're all humans and we're not fishing to get them to break. We knew and they had accepted, it was almost a contract with themselves, not with us, that if they were going to make that film, they needed to choose the right people to make it, us and all the rest of the team. But as soon as that was decided, they were going to go there and they were going to accept to go there for instance, you guys to witness it and audiences to witness it afterwards. So I think me would be more with Alan Matt's mother, Gay Exton, which hadn't made the vow to talk. The kids sort of helped us convince her to talk, but they felt, look, you've never talked about dad. It'll be the moment to do it, or maybe a way to say bye and all the rest of it. And it was quite tough for her. She's elderly as well. And when she asked us to switch off the camera, we switched off the camera. There we did, because out of respect of her even being there, and it wasn't, there we there's a moment where she cracked and she asked us to stop, so we just stopped the camera and we took an hour or whatever. It's it's funny. It's just, you make film, you spend the money making the film, people are there, but you really documentary. What's amazing is that the people are not acting out their life. They're not acting out. It's their life.
Yeah.
We, as documentary filmmaker, I don't think Peter and I are strong enough to go in the war field filming people and getting there. I don't think, I think it'll be too much. I'll trust amazing other filmmakers. I prefer to make films which are controllable and where the emotional impact is some things I completely understand. War conflict and some horrific subject, I would have trouble to deal with it. I don't think I'll be capable to handle it and just, you know, carry on with my daily life, if that makes sense. We're a bit more on the entertainment scale of potentially documentary. We don't hide from emotions, by the way, but...
To that end, I want to bring it back around. I think we have time for one more question. And there's an aspect of this documentary that I want people to really understand gets into Chris's professional life as an actor and as a theater kid, essentially. And I really loved hearing those stories. You know, obviously, Jake and I are film geeks. And, you know, there's this whole other aspect of you know, where Chris was being told, don't leave the theater community, don't go play Superman. In putting this together, in learning to appreciate a little bit more of him as an actor, can you tell our audience an underrated Christopher Reeve performance so that when they come out of this, you know, and want to start to dive into his body of work, what do you want them to go check out? That's obviously not a Superman film.
Death Trap.
Okay, tell me why.
Because it's like the Antichrist, if not the Antichrist. It's such a sort of like... It's so unexpected, and you know, yet the skill of an actor that he can charm and then be a psychopath within a moment, and the cleverness of the script, which was a play originally, and the interplay with Michael Caine, it's just full of unexpected delights, and it just shows another side of Chris. I mean, there's a lot of great work. I think Somewhere in Time is so cherished by a lot of people, but I would pick Death Trap because it's sort of like there's something kind of dark and interesting about it that is very much against the Christopher that we know from Superman.
I think it's quite crazy that after Superman, which he had to carry for almost 10 years, he actually jumped from many, many roles. He did romantic comedy, he did the comedy, and the name escaped me with... you know, when just before his accident, he was playing a disabled cop in a thriller for HBO. He took on a lot of roles, and his career sort of started to go for TV, but each of the role he took on, he took them on very, very seriously. And I think that's a message. If you love the craft, you can be in a $300 million film or a £5.50 off Broadway, you know, it's, you just love it and you just do it and you just feel blessed someone is coming to see you or someone is going to go to the theater to see your film. And I think Chris loved the craft. He intellectualized it. He lived it. And he really gave his all to it. And there's plenty of actors, young actors right now, which I think I've seen the film and quite like it. And they recognize their passion and they're quite successful themselves into Chris because it's truly a passion. It's a calling. It's not an easy career. It's not an easy career to be making film as directors. It's not an easy career to be an actor. And you really have to have that thing that it's almost like water and breathing. If you don't do it, you wither away.
Yeah. Guys, you guys are incredible. Your film is incredible. We really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much for joining the Real Blend podcast.
Great pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for taking the time, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you so much to Ian and Peter for stopping by the Real Blend podcast to talk about this movie. Again, some people had a chance to check this out in September. It had a few fan screenings. It had one specifically that was programmed on behalf of Christopher Reeve's anniversary. But I want to put this on your radar because I know that Warner Brothers is bringing it back to theaters. They're going to go wide with it. And you have to get a chance to go out and see this movie in a theater. Bring a box of tissues. It's really, really remarkable. For this reason, we talk a lot on the show about casting and actors being put into certain roles. You'll hear in this documentary about this incredible relationship that Christopher Reeve had with Robin Williams, who was going through his own issues over the course of his professional career. But when you think about Robin Williams in a part like Mork from Mork and Mindy, and how he got sort of, you know, typecast automatically into that bit, but then stretched himself with dramatic parts. And a lot of that was due to the encouragement that he got from Christopher Reeve as a performer. You put Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire, and it was like a legendary pairing. Well, that was Christopher Reeve to Superman. And, you know, no matter which side you sort of fall on of like the best Superman, there's no question that Reeve's impact on the character is something that's going to hang over all of us. And when you see in this documentary just how much he embodies the personality of Superman and all of the weight that comes with being Superman for a generation, that's what I took away from this documentary. That was the overwhelming feeling that I felt of like this man accepted everything that comes with being Superman. And so when you have someone like David Corenswet who's about to step into the role and try it on for another generation, I'll be really, really curious to see how he sort of, you know, fills that part. It's more than just playing a character on a screen. It comes with a lot of baggage, both good and bad. And I think that gets analyzed beautifully in this new documentary, Superman, the Christopher Reeve story. So we'll have a lot more about this documentary on the show on Friday. Jake and Kevin, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it as well, too. The guest for the main show on Friday is Lawrence Scherr, cinematographer for Todd Phillips' movie Joker. And even if people didn't necessarily like Joker all that much, I think the takeaway from almost everybody was that it was beautifully shot and it looked amazing. And Lawrence Scherr is going to be a terrific guest to come on and give us some insight into how he and Todd Phillips collaborated on the visual look of Gotham and Arkham and all these really cool elements of that film. In addition, we have Andrew Garfield joining the show to talk about his film, We Live in Time, and a very special episode coming up on behalf of the 40th anniversary of Wes Craven's Nightmare on Elm Street. Real Blend is actually going to have Heather Langenkamp and Robert Englund together talking only about the very first Nightmare. Now, actually, no, that's where we get into Dream Warrior and we get into Nightmare Part 2 also. So a lot about the Nightmare franchise. Good stuff, basically, is what I'm saying. Good stuff coming to Real Blend here on the channel. So if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit subscribe, turn on your notifications. If you're listening to us everywhere you get your podcast needs met, we really appreciate you guys hanging out with us, following the show, supporting us. That's the whole reason we're able to do this and get these amazing guests on. And we'll see you soon with a brand new episode of Real Blend.